gentle is being gentle with your words. It's not just one thing. It's, I
Right.
think it's gentle with your words, your actions, your body language, your nonverbals, your verbals. I think when this question came in, my mind automatically went to grace, like extending grace before it even needs to be there.
I want to invite you May 17th through 19th. This May, a few weeks away, we are doing the YA Weekend. The Young Adult Weekend is a camp where hundreds of young adults gather to lift up the name of Jesus, to grow together in community, and to go after all that God has for our future. There will be amazing opportunities of worship led by Steph MacDonald and the team. Micah Mack is preaching. There'll be breakout sessions and more. The link is in the show notes. You can use the code PODCAST for $10 off your registration. We'll see you there. And today's episode of the FYI Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Covenant Eyes. Covenant Eyes is an amazing accountability software where you can find freedom from sexual addiction, from pornography. And there is hope, there is help, there is healing. And your first month is free of Covenant Eyes software with the promo code YOUNGADULTS. YOUNGADULTS. Again, that's Covenant Eyes. The link is in the show notes for more information. Here's our conversation today on the FYI Podcast. What's up, guys? It's Josiah and Micah Keneally. We're your hosts. This is the FYI Podcast, where we unpack your questions about faith, life, adulting, relationships, finances. And today's question comes from Galadriel. And she said, hey, I want to ask you, and I've been wondering about this question. Could you talk about being gentle and how it is a fruit of the Spirit, as well as how to have a gentle heart when you have been hurt? Please, and thank you so much. She also goes, I'm excited to see you guys at the Young Adult Weekend in May.
Yes.
Talk about the weekend first, and then we'll unpack her question.
Okay, well, first and foremost, for you, those of you tuning in, the weekend is something that we do every May. So May 17th through 19th of 2024, we will be at Lake Geneva Camp in Alexandria, Minnesota. If you're the ages of 18 to 30, we have worship and breakout sessions and main sessions and game time and, oh my gosh, prayer. It is just, it's powerful. It's amazing. It's fun. It's one of those weekends where young adults can just come and meet other young adults, as well as unplug, but also feel probably rejuvenated because they've spent time in the Word and with community and with good and godly people, or people who are truly discovering what faith is and means to them. So we are so excited to spend May with another group of young adults. So
$10 off registration with the promo code PODCAST at checkout. So PODCAST, you get $10 off. The link's in the show notes. Special thanks to, for this series, we're filming at Zoe Church in Burnsville. So special shout out to the youth department, to, I mean, gosh, Jordan Pripp, Jackson Hansen, the team, the squad, Pastor Greg Lins, and Zoe Church for letting FYI come and be here in this studio.
Yeah. So we're thrilled to unpack this question. And I think the first part of your question, you've already somewhat answered, like, where does it all come into play? Where does
gentleness
come into play? It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. And I'll just share something fun that Josiah and I do. This is a family thing that we've adopted.
That's
when
right.
We were dating. Do you remember that?
I do
it was
remember.
Like 2015. I think
I
you introduced
this.
Me to this.
Yeah.
And each December, we would begin to pray separately of just like, what fruit of the Spirit do we feel like God really wants us to hone in on? Maybe we're weak in that area and we really want God to just work on our hearts. And we feel like God would download like, hey, you need to work on this one this year. So we take those next 11, 12 months and really lean into that fruit of the Spirit. And it's just been nothing but fun. Sometimes it's the same fruit twice in a row. You're like, wow, I'm still working on that one. Or maybe you just want to get through all nine. So for the next 9 years, you kind of just unpack one at a time. But getting to the fruit of the Spirit, if you don't know where that is, it's found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. So we're excited to unpack this question, but let me read the verse of the day. And it's simply this, and most complicatedly this, but the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these. And really the one that we're going to lean into today is gentleness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And gentleness and the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe when you're walking through difficult situations, relationships, having to extend perhaps excessive amounts of grace in bigger doses than what we are capable of in our human flesh. So we get to team up with the Holy Spirit, with Scripture, and with God. So here we go.
I love this question, Galadriel. We're excited for the weekend. And just anytime we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it fires me up because this is what we're looking for in our lives. This isn't something that's willpower. This isn't something that you do on your own, like, oh, be more loving. This is the transformative, redemptive, sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that, I mean, at the power of the Holy Spirit, there was a sorcerer named Simon who wanted to purchase the ability to lay his hands on people and heal them or share the Holy Spirit with them. And they're like, look, this is not monetizable. This is like God's Spirit moves where he's welcome, where he's wanted, and where he wants to move. And where I'm reminded of the word that stood out to me about your question is actually hurt. Because I recognize in my life, there are times where knowingly and unknowingly, I've hurt people, whether that be Micah or our daughters or friends or family or loved ones. And I think that there's a sad reality that we all have the power of life and death in our tongue with our words. So let's choose to build up. Let's choose to edify and exhort and encourage others. I'm reminded too of Mandisa. Mandisa passed away this past week, but she was on American Idol in one of the early seasons. And then she's teamed up with Toby Mac. And our daughters tend to really like some of the Mandisa songs, like It's a Good Morning. And Mandisa, I read this article about her that Simon Cowell, who at the time was one of the judges of American Idol, he was really demeaning to her about her weight. And she went to him and gave a little bit of a speech on American Idol. And I mean, if you think about it, her words carry about just a ton of weight in that moment. And she could have let him have it. And America would have been on her side and he would have looked horrible. Instead, you know what she did? She went to him and said, On air, this is on live television. She goes, Simon, what you said hurt me, and I've forgiven you in advance. God has forgiven me. And like God, he forgave me. I'm going to forgive you. I don't even need for you to apologize in order for me to forgive. And he did apologize. And I believe he said something like that he felt as small as a millimeter. But this is the idea of she was gentle in that moment. Wow. Sometimes you hear the phrase that hurt people, and maybe Simon Cowell was hurting. I don't know. But Mandisa had that chain breaker moment where she stopped the hurting. And rather than hurting him, she had words of life and healing and gentleness and forgiveness.
Which I think is a demonstration of the fruit of the Spirit activated in living and functioning truly in its form when somebody has the poise and grace to extend publicly and on live air with that form of, with that demeanor. Because she could have potentially ripped him to shreds, but instead she counteracted with love, which is so countercultural right now. And so to extend that, that's amazing. I never heard that story. It's the first time right now.
it's powerful, right? True. And I think that we all have those moments of how are we going to respond? And one of the first things that we taught our oldest daughter, Aurora, because she was only 16 months and we brought home Avalon, our youngest daughter. And what's crazy is do you remember one of the first things? Be gentle. You're even though you're only 16 months and she is tiny compared to a less than 6 pound day old or a few day old, less than a week old baby. I mean, a toddler is a giant compared to an infant newborn. And we would teach her to like touch her hair or touch her cheek or to be gentle. How would you explain what does it mean to be gentle?
Well, I think Just going back to your story, like being gentle is being gentle with your words. It's not just one thing. It's
right.
I think it's gentle with your words, your actions, your body language, your nonverbals, your verbals. I think when this question came in, my mind automatically went to grace, like extending grace before it even needs to be there. And I really wrestle with this, with grace in the sense, because I've taken the personality test. Like that is literally the lowest one on my score.
Sure.
I mean, I was a personal trainer. I'm just like, well, we all know how we all got here. Like, let's get better, you know? And I mean, bringing a positive attitude without crushing people, but learning how to extend grace when maybe grace has never been extended to people. It doesn't mean that my words don't carry weight. It doesn't matter that my words don't matter. It shows the condition of my heart. And I'm not going to offer a fake grace, but that's a character flaw of my own that I realize. But I've also learned, like, Lord, I want to understand how to extend grace. I want to learn how to expand the territory in my heart for you to invade it with love, with acceptance of others, no matter what they're walking through, and not be surprised by anything I hear, whether it's about me, about something else, about they're walking through, and to be able to extend true grace like Jesus extended to us on the cross, I think is just because it like scores like lower or lowest on my true personality does not mean that it doesn't exist or shouldn't exist or should be untamed and run wild in a sense of, I don't know, in an unpoised form of grace. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, I'm not being like, oh, with fake words, but I've really had to pray, like, Lord, help me to have grace for this person. Help me have grace for this situation. Yeah. And when I've asked God to intervene and show me and challenge my heart and soften my heart in those regards, like, don't be surprised by the fact that if you're hard-hearted listening to this, that God can turn you into a puddle of water like that, because you're moldable and you're pliable. Like that's the condition of our hearts, to be moldable and pliable. And I think that is an extension of Jesus. And yeah, is that what you wanted me to go and
totally
talk about?
And for Galadriel, for the listener, for somebody watching on YouTube or listening as you work out or drive or you're in between things, so you're shuffling through, FYI, I would just say, and maybe more specifically, maybe you've been hurt. Gentleness doesn't mean weakness.
Right.
Gentleness, I would say, is strength under control. It's governed strength. It's strength dialed back. Some people say that's meekness, is strength under control. But I would say the same for gentleness, is it doesn't mean that we're called to be weak, wimpy people. It means we're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're strong and courageous, as Joshua 1:9 commands us. God's with us. And yet with that strength, we don't use it to abuse.
Right.
We don't use it for self-serving measures. We are gentle with that strength. And I picture kind of this wild picture of the lion. Jesus is often referred to as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And it says in Revelation that the lion will lay down with the lamb. And we have a God who can shut the mouths of lions. That's gentleness. That's the roar under control.
But he's also the lion of Judah.
He is. He is. And you know what? Like, you can hear the roar of a lion up to 5 miles away. And with gentleness, I guess where I'm going is Jesus. Because our prayer for you and for ourselves is that we would be like Christ, that we'd be transformed into the image of Jesus. And there's been many times documented throughout the Gospels where Jesus was hurt and abused. One of which is he was betrayed by Judas. Unpack how did Jesus approach hurt and gentleness? Unpack that.
Oh man, I think, that in that particular instance, like, he knew one of the disciples was going to betray him. So it's not like it didn't come to be a surprise for him on any levels, but he chose in advance to forgive him because he knew the cross was coming. He knew the time was coming. When they sat around the table, he still looked in their eyes, washed their feet, ate with them, prayed with them, broke bread, took communion, and prophesied, saying, one of you is going to betray me. And it says, like in scripture, the one that greets you with a holy kiss is a one, is that was the indicator that this is the one that called him out and was able to make some money off of him and sold him. So in that gentleness, like Jesus had forgiven, like even on the cross when he goes, Lord, forgive them for what they've done. Yeah. They do not know.
Yeah.
They do not know.
Yeah.
So he chose to forgive the whole world, including Judas, who ended up taking his own life because he felt so incredibly guilty because of the decision that he made and the saw that he hurt the savior of the world. Jesus still loved him in the moment of knowing his accuser or his disciple that betrayed him. So I just think of that of like, wow, could you walk into a room with your best friends knowing that one of them is going to rat you out and take you to your deathbed? Like, could you still have a meal with them knowing this is your last meal with them? Like in real time, like one of them is going to take you out tonight and leave you to hang there and dry. Like, that is a morbid thought to think. Could you do what Jesus did? I could not. I'd be like, I'm out of here. Like, I'm going to hiding. There's 15 miles away. Not even a 15 mile hike away was what Jesus had to escape. Literally when he was in that landscaping, if I'm not mistaken, he was only a few miles away from true escaping, but he decided to extend grace to the entire world, which would bring the old and new covenant together because of his blood and because of what he did. And yeah.
And I'm a little bit of, especially I have been growing up, I'm a little bit more on the sensitive side of things. I really am. Like, you know what? I'm a words of encouragement person, or you do the love languages. And what's my love language?
Words of encouragement.
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation, sorry.
And so the highs are pretty high. The lows can be really low, meaning that somebody's encouragement, I could run a mile from that. I could run a marathon if somebody would just encourage me. I mean, there's a few mentors or friends that if I've spent time with them, Micah can tell. Because I'm a little bit on cloud nine and
20.
I'm
it's not encouraged. Even he's way up in cloud 20, in my opinion.
And I like to live there. And then there are those moments where I've had something that I can't unhear.
Right.
And for me, sometimes the wounds can be hurt from words. And, you know, so I think where I've learned this fruit of the spirit of gentleness is with myself. And with my mind and what I believe about myself, to have gentle thoughts about myself. But here's a prayer that I've learned that we pray for ourselves, for our family, for the listener. And it would be that you would develop a thick skin and a soft heart. The importance of a thick skin is, you know what? We're going to fall down. We're going to get beat up. We're going to get some bumps and bruises, some hurts, hurdles, and hangups. It's going to be hard to escape life without some scars, without some stitches, without some stories to tell, even on our epidermis and our dermis and our skin. And we need a thick skin because you know what? The skin can bruise and the skin can bleed and the skin can also scab and heal and scar. I think we need, as Christ followers, to have a thick skin, a bit of a spine, a bit of a backbone, and then at the same time, not grow bitter and not grow jaded. And here's like an example that would kind of be textbook, like what I mean. Picture a young adult whose parents maybe left them or whose dad left them at a young age, walked out on the family. That's called abandonment. And textbook abandonment would be later in life, sabotaging relationships and even relationships, coworkers, family, friends, boom, sabotage, because I would rather hurt you as a defense mechanism. This is textbook abandonment. They would rather hurt you, sabotage that, cut it off so that they don't get hurt. And it's a coping mechanism. It's a defense mechanism. And so you'll see, what you'll see in the world is you'll see 60 and 65 year old leaders who are business leaders, they're CEOs, and they've, their whole life, their whole career, they've kept everyone at an arm's distance. Nobody can get close because they won't allow it. Their coping mechanism, they've put up a wall of guard, of defense mechanism. And that's not gentleness. That's self-preservation.
Right.
And so you'll see pastors of churches who fire staff, who let heads roll, so to speak, because they would rather sever the tie, keep anyone from getting close to them because they've been wounded before and they don't want to open up that wound again.
Right.
And it's a defense mechanism. And so I think gentleness and developing a thick skin, but maintaining a soft heart is what God allows us to do. And man, it's how we're wounded healers in the body of Christ.
Yeah. And I would say to the second part of this question is kind of like, how do you get through it if you've experienced hurt? And I think the hurt, I don't want to tell you like what to do or step-by-step how to do it, but I think number one is taking that hurt before the Lord. Number two, bringing forth the awareness of the person who's offended you, who's hurt you, who's, I don't know, maybe intentionally or unintentionally hurt you. Bring that forth in conversation of, hey, when you said this, this is how I felt. And sometimes just bringing it forth to their awareness, they might not even know that they hurt you. And I think so many times when we hold on to the hurt instead of dealing with it, we just let it fester and then becomes a wedge or a sliver or becomes a friendship that we just like cut off or a relationship or whatever the hurt might be in the situation. I would say number one is take it before the Lord with your hurt. Number two, take it to that person that has hurt you if you're able to do that. And number three, recognizing and realizing the people that hurt you, whether they did it intentionally or not intentionally. And Josiah and I have learned this, I think, throughout the years of just life and everything, is you don't have to live in close standing with everybody, but you do need to live in right standing. So even when you go to that person with the hurt that they caused, I don't want to sound rude or anything, but it's like, you might not get an apology. So forgive that person, because the only person, when there is a lack of forgiveness, even if they don't forgive you or ask or say that they're sorry, the only person you hold hostage in those situations whose heart you hold is yours, because they have already moved on to the next thing, the next conversation, whatever that is. So I would just be mindful of like, hey, I'm going to choose, like Mandy, so I'm going to choose to forgive you even before you've asked or said that you were sorry. And if you never hear an apology, to know that maybe that's not an individual that you want speaking into your life, you know, one of your primary people. And that's where I think it comes into play, like be in right standing with them, but you don't have to be in close proximity doing every day with them.
Yeah.
So,
and that's where, especially if it's abuse or something like that, or just really harm or damage has been done to your heart, your mind, your soul, your being, you do need to return to forgive. You don't need to return to the hurt. You don't need to return to the shame. You don't need to return to the harm or the abuse or the neglect. But you do need to be, like Micah was saying, in right standing with them. It doesn't need to be that you need to become best friends again, or you need to become buddy-buddy, or you need to become in close standing or proximity. Because you know what? Sometimes the healthiest thing for a relationship to be restored is some distance.
Yeah.
And is some time. And the rate at which healing can happen sometimes increases by some more distance or some more time.
Yeah.
And I mean, any last thoughts on gentleness and the fruit of the Spirit?
I think I shared all mine. Do you have anything you want to share to leave the listener with?
You know, I would just say we'll take this opportunity to challenge you as the listener. It very well might be gentleness, forgiveness, healing from hurt, and forgiveness that is the next step for you. It might be love or joy or peace or patience or kindness or gentleness or self-control. There's not a law against those things. And that's kind of the way it should be. It's kind of like Paul saying the way it should be in the life of the Spirit for the Christ follower, the way it should be is loving and joyful and kind. And if there's a fruit that you feel depleted from or deficient, and it's like, man, in my garden of life, of soul, there's just not a lot of joy. There's just not a lot of kindness. The message today isn't do more. The message today is it's done. It's finished. And the same resurrection power that rose Christ from the grave lives in you. And so the Spirit is going to develop these types of fruit in your life. But I think there needs to be an openness to say, Lord, I'm depleted. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, I'm feeling depressed. Could you give me joy? It says the joy of the Lord is my strength. I need some strength right now. I need joy, or whatever the fruit of the Spirit is, pray it into your life and request it. Like, God knows how to give good food, good gifts, good fruit to his children. And so you might have a follow-up question. I think where we're going to go next week is kind of building on this one. Tori, a listener, sent in the question, how do I know when it's time to let a friend go? And I feel like, man, as we've talked about gentleness and healing and forgiveness, Galadriel, we're praying that that encourages you and helps you and takes a stab at the answer of the fruit of the Spirit. And now on to just as we're going to talk next week right here on the FYI podcast. So if you need to share this with somebody who's going through something hard, may it be uplifting to their ears. You're listening to the FYI podcast.